time it is. Gather your family, gather your friends around your computer, and let's get ready for a great show. It's time for Let's Talk Politics on SRN, your survival radio network, the network you can't live without. I'm your new host, Frederick Wilson. Yes, your new host, Frederick Wilson, and it is my duty, my responsibility, and my charge to bring you the most comprehensive, up-to-date, and complete social, economic, and political information on the planet. I am blessed to be here on tonight's show. No thanks to Barack Obama. It is because of Barack Obama I should be a dead man. Stay tuned to find out why.
Have tax issues, owe back taxes, or need tax relief? Contact L&B Tax Service today. L&B offers you over 15 years of expertise and first-class tax service for individuals, professionals, and business owners. With nationwide service, you can easily find a location near you. Contact one of our tax professionals through our website, lbtaxservice.com. That's www.lbtaxservice.com. L&B Tax Service Incorporated. Tax professionals that you can trust.
Hey, you guys, we are back. And again, you are listening to the hottest radio station on the planet. This is the SRN Network, the network you can't live without. I am your host, exactly what I said, your host, your new host, Frederick Wilson. And again, this is Let's Talk Politics on the Survival Radio Network. Today is a beautiful day, and we have a lot to be thankful for, even though we might not realize it. I'm thankful to be alive. I have another opportunity to apologize to anyone I need to, right any wrongs if possible, help my fellow man, and serve my God better today than I did yesterday. Now, that's something to be thankful for. I'm also thankful for this wonderful opportunity to host this show, as Clark has entrusted me to be accurate and to bring you complete information, even if it hurts. I like that part. He's given me free reign to do pretty much with the show as I will, and I'll outline some of the segments that we'll have on the show. So you can call today like a lighter version of the regular show. This is kind of like our courting time where we get to know one another before we really get down to business and not only discuss what's going on in the political world, but also begin to affect change. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being tired of simply talking about what should be done. I'm ready to do something. And I have been for a long time. I believe this show, our show, is a catalyst that I've been looking for. But last but not least, let me be thankful and thank you for listening to me. And I pray that what I have to offer is pleasing in the eyes of God and will be a benefit to you. And oh, yeah, why is it Obama's fault that I should be a dead man? Well, if you recall the last time I was here, I was a guest on the show. And this was the Monday before the presidential election. Clark asked me to give my gut opinion of who I thought would win the presidential election. I ran my mouth. I talked about polls and how bad the economy was doing and how Obama said if he didn't cut the deficit in half and his first term, he wouldn't be president, and on and on and on and on. I told Clark that if someone had a gun to my head, that I would say Mitt Romney would be president. Well, as you know, the people have spoken. Obama's my president because he spanked Romney. 322 delegates to 206 wasn't even close. And because of that, I should be dead. Now, luckily for me, we're speaking metaphorically, folks. Don't get any ideas. because I'm not ready to leave this earth just yet. It just goes to show that I'm a human being, I'm subject to flaws, and I can be wrong just like anyone else. All right? And oh, this is a great segue into what we need to get into. I guess, well, as I said before, we just need to lay down the foundation of how we're going to conduct the show and what you can expect from us in the SRN Network. The first thing I want you to understand with me or anybody else calling, anybody you speak to, I'll say it a million times, is do not believe anything you hear me or anyone else say unless you already know it's true or you have done your homework, because anyone can lie or just be wrong. But you working off false information decreases the likelihood that you're going to get where you want to be in life. Can we agree on that? Great. I hope so. So challenge me, because I'm going to challenge you. We can only get better that way. All right? I need you out there. Now, speaking of Clark is, I spoke to Clark a little while ago offline, and he told me I should probably give you guys a little background just in case that you weren't here last time I was on. He announced that I was going to be taking the helm. So let's give a little background. Again, my name is Frederick Wilson. I have been studying politics really since 1998. My views are conservative. My values are conservative. Not all, but mostly. And the reason being is because the experiences I have in life, my understanding of what's right and wrong and what should or shouldn't be, coincides more with the conservative views. Now, how I got into politics, I was a student at FAMU, Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida. My roommate at the time got me a job working for the state legislature. Just like most other folks, most college people, I needed a job because I was broke and I was willing to work for it. So I remember sitting in the committee meeting. I worked for the Sergeant Arms Office. What I did is I made sure the committees ran smoothly. I ran a little, did a little security, make sure people weren't talking loud on cell phones, ran communications, drove the senators around, and did a little background work just to keep things going smooth. And in one committee meeting, I'm sitting there thinking about my next chemistry test, and I heard them pass through that subcommittee a bill that was going to raise college tuition. And in my head, something rang in my head and said, you're going to raise my college tuition? How can I survive with that? I'm a struggling college student. Hello, people. Do you see me not sitting here? And they went on and on and on. And I'm thinking, if you raise my college tuition, but I didn't hear anything about me getting a raise at my job, that means I'm going to have to cut something out that I was used to doing in order to stay in school or find some other means of income. So the next day I go to campus and I start talking to people and calling my friends, hey, you guys, you know what's going on? They're thinking about raising the tuition. What are we going to do? Nobody knew anything. Worse than that, a lot of people weren't even interested. And it just kind of made me mad. It kind of planted a seed in me that there's a lot going on in the state of in the city of Tallahassee with the state elections that we really don't know what's going on. We really don't know what's happening up there. And I really started paying attention. And as I started paying attention, my eyes opened up to the different things in the politics. I saw our senators doing great things and bending over backwards to help people. But on the flip side, I also saw some things that I shouldn't have seen as far as politics and how things are actually done. So I saw both sides. Things happened. I moved back to Jacksonville, and I worked for city council. So I was an aide to a city councilman. And the things would come up on me, because, you know, as an aide to a city councilman, you're like a gateway to the councilman. You're the one that will let a call go through or not. You're the one that takes the calls from the other city councilmen, men and women. You're the one that takes the calls from the mayor's office, any constituents, any kind of donations. You do all that. So I had another opportunity to see how great the Jacksonville City Council was. But also, again, I saw some things that I didn't agree with. And again, it gave that rebirth. It watered that seed that was already planted in me. So I go out and say, hey, you guys, talking to my family and friends, do you know what's going on with city council? You're keeping up with this bill. You're keeping up with that bill. No. Average person said no. So something told me I had to do something about this. So I started reading more. I started buying books. I started listening to talk radio, listening to the internet and just doing all kind of things to just put myself in a political view, and I started realizing, hey, politics matter. These people in Washington, in Tallahassee, in the city councils, these people really affect the lives of us as Americans and sometimes people abroad. So we have to do something about it. And that was the birth of me and my desire to learn more and do more. So here we are today. I get opportunity. I meet a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a while. I said an acquaintance. And I was catching up on old times. I hadn't seen this guy in probably 8 years. Told him I was still in the politics and doing some blogging. And he said, hey, have you heard of the Clark Garrison show? I said, no, haven't heard of him. He said, he's out of Atlanta. He's a fellow rattler. Like, that's family for you guys that don't know that. I said, no, I haven't heard of him. But he put me in touch with him. Clark and I talked, and Clark invited me to the show. And three, four, five times later, Clark says, hey, I'm looking for someone to take over the show because I want to go ahead and expand the SRN brand. And he said, you seem like a guy that could really handle this. And I was taken aback. And, of course, I was like, yeah, I'll try to be cool with it. I said, yeah, let me think about it. You know, I got to be cool with it. You can't jump out too far and look real desperate. But I was like, inside I was screaming, yes. But, you know, the Clark listening now, so stop giggling, Clark. I was like, yeah, let me think about it. Give me a day or two to think. I already knew I was going to say, yeah, the whole time. I already started working on my background stuff. I started telling people, hey, I might have the opportunity to do this. I was already working that. And here we are today. So after a long time of being nervous and shaking and praying, I've prayed about 7-8 times today just to make sure I come off well to you guys. Here I am. So that's a little background information about me. Again, I'm conservative. This group is this radio show is not a conservative radio show per se. It's a radio show that's not, I'm not trying to push the conservative views or liberal views or libertarian views. I just want to bring the best information to you. I want you to have a complete information which you can make an educated decision. I want you to tune in. I want you to email me, write me, call me, send smoke signals, message in a bottle. I want you to be a part of this radio station. Because without you, there is no reason for me to be here. So I need you, and I want you to tell all your family and tell all your friends, hey, Frederick Wilson's hosting the Clark Garrison Show, the Let's Talk Politics Show. He's going to bring us and take us to a different level. He's going to have us interact with him. He's going to not only tell us about the political issues like other folk do, but he's also going to talk about how the system works. And that's the difference between the other radio shows and other radio networks and what we're doing. That we're designed to be a complement to whatever you're already doing, not to compete against them. If you like CNN, great, keep listening to CNN. If you like Fox, cool, listen to Fox. If you like the local station, that's great. Because the difference is between what Let's Talk Politics does and other political shows is that we also teach about the political system. Other shows bring you information and sort of tell you what to think about. Some people will say, oh, Fox is slanted to the right. And other people say, oh, CNN is slanted to the left. And some people say, MSNBC is the greatest thing since sliced bread. We all have our opinions. But the difference is what we're going to do, we're going to give you the background and working knowledge of our political system so you can really decide for yourself. And at the very least, if you don't want to get active and make change, when you go to the polls, you make an educated decision. Here's an example. I heard from many different media outlets that the Republicans were filibustering bills from Obama, like all the bills that Obama tried to get through, and they were going to keep doing it, and that's the reason why Obama can't get what he needs to get done, and we need to get rid of these senators because Obama is trying to do best for this country. But when I hear that, and when I heard that, I still hear it actually, I haven't heard anybody tell me what a filibuster was, so I didn't know if I should be happy or mad at them for doing it. But then I go back into my memory and I recall hearing the same thing being said about George Bush and the Republicans and the Democrats were filibustering George Bush and Republicans and he can't get what he wants to get done. And the Democrats said, they're going to keep doing it too. So again, should I write a letter of thanks or a letter demanding a cease and desist this filibustering thing in the better interest of our country? Now, me being me, I try and do some research. So I have a friend of mine that was a news reporter and I still talk to him. And this was just a couple of days ago, matter of fact. I asked him, I said, hey, why is it that I hear like partial reporting, in my opinion? And he said, basically in a nutshell, that the news is the business of deadlines. And one doesn't always have time to go into detail as much as needed, but as long as the general message gets across in the reporting, that's all they can look for. That's all they can be happy with that. That's where we come in, and let's talk politics. Because a filibuster there, I want you to get this down, is a means of stopping a bill by talking about the bill or other things for the entire time of the session. And people do that so the bill can never be voted on and in effect died. It's kind of like if you a lot of people work customer service. And you know if you're at 5 o'clock, you want to get off at 5 o'clock. So you know at 4:59, if that phone's ringing, you are mad as a dickens because you know that's going to take you longer than 5 o'clock and you're going to have to stay. Same thing with the Congress. They know if they talk and keep talking about a bill past the time in which the senators want to be there, that bill pretty much dies because no one's going to vote on it. And that's what they do. It's called a filibuster. Now, this can only happen in the Senate. The House of Representatives has too many representatives, and I think they're limited to about 3 minutes for a speech. But senators have unlimited time. Now, get this. This is crazy. A little history about this. Now, the title of the longest filibuster goes to Strom Thurmond. He was a Democrat from South Carolina. Now, this guy, Strom Thurmond, he spoke for 24 hours and 18 minutes in opposition to the 1957 Civil Rights Act. He did things like he read the Declaration of Independence. He read the Bill of Rights, and he read some of George Washington's letters. He did everything he could to keep that bill from being voted on. Now, later on, when he was accused of being a racist, now I'm going to give you what he says. He said he's not a racist, but he was just fighting against federal government's intrusion into private issues. He was quoted as saying, now, all the laws of Washington and all the bayonets of the army cannot force the Negro into our homes, into our schools, our churches, and our places of recreation and amusement. Think about that. Now, shortly after his death in 2002, it was revealed that in 1924, at the age of 22, yes, Strom Thurmond was 22 years old in 1924. This guy was old. You hear me? Old. It was 22. Now, he fathered a biracial child by a 16-year-old maid. The child's name was Essie Mae Washington Williams. And after he died is when it all came out. And turns out that he accepted the child. His family from his marriage accepted him. And they did the background check. And turns out he was paying child support. And he put Essie Mae, which was his biracial daughter, through college. She graduated from South Carolina State University, but I digress. Just saying, this is a little background information that we provide for you. So now when you hear about a filibuster, when you turn on TV, just because I said it, you're going to hear it pretty soon, you'll know what a filibuster is. But you also know that a filibuster can be overridden by a supermajority of votes for 60 or more. This is very difficult to do, because especially nowadays when you have such a close number of Democrats to Republicans, if you really don't have that many more senators on your side, it's not likely to happen. But again, this is legal. Why does it happen? Because the parties like it. It gives the minority party, now when I say minority, it's not a black and white, not a minority like a black or a Latino or a woman. The party, the minority party, is just a party that has less members. So if you have, the Senate has 100 senators, whoever has 51 senators is the majority party, and the one that has the other amount is the minority party. So the minority party, when you have ability to filibuster, the minority party has some kind of power to affect change in the Senate. So they're not just there just as pseudo-senators and really can't do anything. So both parties have had the opportunity to eliminate this law, but neither one has. Let's just say a rule, but neither one has. Again, it kind of gives balance to our Senate. But that's just one little teaching tool that we'll provide periodically for you to understand what's going on. So, again, when you turn on the TV and they say they're filibustering and the Republicans are going to filibuster, now you can say, hey, should they be filibustering this bill or should they not? Now you know. You see, this is the type of hedge we have, and you now have by listening to Let's Talk Politics. This goes just to help you to sort out the truth and the lies that we all hear about. This is not just like your schoolhouse. This is not economics and government 101. We're going to talk about current events. Believe that. We're going to talk about the debt crisis. We're going to talk about the impending war between Israel and Palestine. We're going to definitely talk about Obamacare. Tonight, we're even going to jump on the states that are threatened to secede from the Union. If you ought to know about that, we've had over 30 states sign petitions to say they want to secede from the Union. That's crazy. We're going to talk about education. We're going to talk about the political parties, the Democrats, Republicans, and third-party candidates, and how they work to keep third-party candidates out. We got a whole world of things that we could talk about. Pretty much anything in the world is fair game. Again, you can't find us anywhere else but on Let's Talk Politics. Next up, when I come back, we're going to talk about one of the segments. Actually, what I'll do is go ahead and outline the segments. I'll do that for you right now. We're going to have a segment called This Just Needs to Be Said, all right? Now, This Just Needs to Be Said is kind of like a venting segment. We'll do it once or twice a month, and either I or one of the callers can email me and say, hey, these things are going on, and I need to speak about it. A lot of it in the This Just Needs to Be Said goes against the political correct atmosphere that is seemingly being created. But mind you now, as your host, I do and can implement rules to the game, all right? One thing, this is a family-friendly radio show, so we're not going to curse. Second thing is I can and will exercise my right to hang up on you if you sound like an idiot, so don't do it. Please, when you call in, have something to say. Make it intelligent, make it intelligible, and let's learn something from it, all right? The next section or another section we're going to have, which we're going to talk about tonight as well, is politics. That's right. That's politics and tricks together. So I call it politics. Now, in this segment, again, once or twice a month, depending on the demand and how much stuff is sent in and how many lies I'm going to expose, we're going to go ahead and expose these politicians for the lies that they tell us. It's not a Democrat thing. It's not a Republican thing. It's a lie thing. And my mindset is, if someone has to lie to me to get me to follow them, then either they think I'm stupid or they don't have my best interest at heart. I know I'm not stupid. So only choice is they don't have my best interest at heart. I need to watch out for them. So that's politics. That's This Just Needs to Be Said. We're also going to have a section on principles of success. And in that, I'm lining up some guest speakers to come on board that write successful books and public speaking and those things to help us out to get us where we need to be. And the reason why we're doing the principles of success is because there's so much confusion in the world. You can read books and associate with folks that help you get to a better place in life. Books like How to Win Friends and Influence People, Master Key to Riches, Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Of course, the Bible and those things that tell you how to conduct yourself and how to relate to people. But a lot of times people don't want to read, so we're going to bring it to you. Now, why do we need to go buy those books or bring this to you? Because things like dropping out of school, how to cheat on your wife or use drugs and lose your job and be a drunk or be a social degenerate, that's all around you. Nowadays, if it's not in your house, it's in your neighbor's house. So you really don't have to look for those things. You can get that on your own without a problem. So those are principles of success that we're going to do. All right? So what we're going to do now, we're going to take a little break. And we come back, we're going to talk about this thing called secession. Why is it that so many states, including the state that I live in right now, Florida, why is it that so many states are applying to secede from the Union? You guys stay tuned. That's something to think about. We're going in a little bit more detail about that. We'll be right back.
Why are over 150,000 people a month joining the 90-Day Body by Vi Challenge? Because we're North America's leading weight loss and fitness challenge. No gluten, no lactose, diabetic-friendly, kosher-certified, 100% risk-free, 100% guaranteed, and it gets better. Lowest sodium, lowest sugar, lowest carbs, and with over 300 recipes to make your shakes fantastic every day, this is not a fad. This is a movement. Join the Body by Vi 90-Day Challenge at www.ambitionchallenge.com. That would be ambition with a Z. Are you up for the challenge?
All right. We're back. We took a quick break. And as I said, we're going to talk about this thing called secession. What does that mean? That means you're going to separate from the union. That means you're no longer happy with what's going on with the current condition. Let's take it back a little bit. I'm going to read from you what Texas has said, which is kind of it's kind of like the Declaration of Independence. If you had the opportunity to read the Declaration of Independence, it's really close. Now, let me preface this by saying I really don't think this is going to happen, but you saw how well I did with the election. But here we go. Now, Texas is saying, this was a couple days ago, matter of fact, they have almost 100,000 signings on this petition. Now, they only need 25,000 to get the attention of the United States, have to take a look at it. So Texas says, Governor Perry is the governor of Texas, and he says he believes in the greatness of our union, but he doesn't think it should be changed. But at the same time, at the same time, they're saying that Texas is not happy with our government. Texas is a state that has a balanced budget. Texas is a state that says, hey, we have a certain lifestyle of our people, and we have to continue that lifestyle. We want to protect that. So in order to do so, in order to make sure that you don't impose your laws on me, that you don't do things that where we leak over and now go into debt like you guys are doing, we need to secede from the union. We no longer like your policies. That's kind of radical, huh? But it says it's about 30 states now have similar petitions. New Jersey, New York, Montana, Colorado, Louisiana, Georgia, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana. And it just goes on and on and on. So what would it take? Let's give a what if. What would happen if we actually did? But before we do that, a lot of times you can learn from history. Let's say you learn from history or you're doomed to repeat it. You can learn from history and not make that mistake, and that's wisdom. Knowledge is just knowing what to do. Wisdom is learning from other people's mistakes. I'd rather have a little wisdom. Well, let's go back. How was this country founded? We know that people are already here when the English got here, the Native Americans, but we know that when they came over here, they started settling and started colonies up here and sending money back to England. England gave protection and support and supplies until the quote-unquote Americans, if you want to call them that, were up and running. Of course, the Native Americans helped the first settlers out, taught them how to plant crops and survive the winters and eat the foods here, because not everything that's native to America was native to England. So some of the animals they saw over here when they got here, they were like, I've never seen that before in my life. There was no internet. There was no National Geographic. There was no Jacques Cousteau. It was just, hey, there was no Encyclopedia Britannica either. You had a couple people that could write down some stuff and send it back if they could make it, and they weren't necessarily accurate. But the colony set up, they established a way of life, and they were paying the king for his protection and to be as citizens of England. So the king realized more and more the great resources that the country had. He demanded more of his people. He taxed them more. The king got in a war or some kind of dispute with another country and needed supplies. Hey, we'll tax the colonies. And then you start hearing the saying of taxation without representation. I know you heard that. That's an old call slogan. That's what you get right if you take any kind of standard government test and you say something about taxation and representation. That's going to be one of the questions on there. If you don't know anything else, put that answer every time, you'll get at least one right. Guarantee it. Taxation without representation. All it is saying, King, you are doing these things to me, but you are not considering how I feel about it. You're telling me that I have to give you more lumber. You're telling me I have to give you more of my money. You're telling me I have to give you some more supplies. But how do you know if I can handle that? How do you know if that is negatively affecting my life? How do you know if this is really feasible? I might be dying trying to pay these taxes to you. That's crazy to me. The law of preservation is self-preservation comes first. So after a while, and going back to rebellions and little things, the Boston Tea Party and Tolliver Act to come after that, all these different things that was happening, some of the colonists just said, hey, let's go ahead and separate from this king. Now, mind you, it was only a third of the colonies that even paid attention to this kind of stuff. Just like we had today, most people don't do anything anyway. It's only a few people that get up and do things. History tells us that as well. But then they say, hey, let's get on the Declaration of Independence. George Washington and James Madison, all these great guys, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Hancock, all these guys got together and they start working and thinking and talking about these ideas. They finally said, hey, we're going to separate from the king. And what the Declaration of Independence really is, you ever read it, is a letter, if you will, it is a document, if you will, that's telling the world we are separating from England. But it's also a petition, if you study your history, to the other leaders, to France and Spain and Portugal, all these other countries that have colonies, not to help England attack. Because if you look at it, what was happening, if the colonies over in here separated from England for no good reason, then the other countries, the British colony, I mean the Spanish colonies and the Portuguese colonies, they might be thinking, hey, I can separate too. All we got to do is say so and it won't be any problem. So the petition was, hey, we want to be British citizens, but we keep asking the king to do these things for us and he is not performing his kingly duties. As a matter of fact, he is abusing his rights. And because of that, we're going to separate from him. And because he is abusing our rights, we do not want you, other countries, to help Britain attack us and put us back under their rule. So again, it was not just to say, hey, we're leaving, but it's also a plea not to be attacked by other countries because we couldn't handle it. So, of course, the war is fought. England loses. We establish our country, Declaration of Independence, and here we are. About 100 years later, we're up at the Civil War, or the American Revolution, however you want to call it. And what's happening there, folks? States want to secede from the Union. Now, people tell you, oh, it's about slavery. No, it wasn't. Slavery was a sidebar. It was about control. The central government had to establish its power and authority under the Supremacy Clause to say, hey, we are the supreme law of the land. You have some rules and some rights, but understand, when I crack this whip, you better get in line. And the southern states are like, hold up. That's not what we signed up for. Because in order for us to sign this union, to be part of this union, you understood that we're going to keep most of our power. We're not going to let you in D.C. come tell me in South Carolina or Tennessee or Alabama how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. You don't know me, and I don't know you. So we go to war over secession. We had to preserve the union. Abraham Lincoln was screaming. Now, we all know Abraham Lincoln, quote-unquote, freed the slaves. We hear about it all the time. That's in all the textbooks all across the country. But we should also know that he said he was against slavery, but he did say that the African was beneath the white man, was not as smart as the white man, and was not equal to the white man, but like any other animal, deserved to be free. And not to the point where we're a dog or a cat or anything, but deserve to be free, but just not equal. He also said that if it took to put every African back in chains to preserve the Union, that's what he would do. So don't get it messed up again. Look this up for yourself. It wasn't about the slaves. It was about control and the power and the money. Because, see, the Southerners said, hey, you're doing the slaves wrong. You shouldn't treat them like that. You know, they're human beings. You shouldn't whip them. You shouldn't beat them. You shouldn't maim them. You shouldn't sell their kids. You shouldn't rape them. You shouldn't do all these things. But then the Southern said, hey, you point the finger at me, but look how you guys are doing your kids and your people up there. You have them working 12, 14, 16 hours in harsh conditions, black lung disease, and all these other things happen to them. The kids are losing arms in these machines. You don't have any kind of safety protocols. You're not paying them any kind of wage. So what's the difference between the way we're treating our slaves and you're treating your so-called workers? You really didn't have an answer for it. But the bottom line is control. So we separate, we fight, and we gain control, and here we are back again, a union. So let's move it forward to 2012. 2012, we're here. We have a president, and many people say, hey, this guy's really not one of us. And I say one of us, meaning one that is conducive to the lifestyle that we're used to living. If you recall, when Barack Obama was running and when Barack Obama became president, he said, we're going to fundamentally change America. That resonates in a lot of the minds of America. Fundamentally change America. That's what he said. Which means he says that he doesn't believe that the fundamentals were good enough at the time or good enough now in order to keep us going. But the fundamentals of this country, as a lot of people believe, and we're going to talk about that because your beliefs are not any better than mine, nor mine yours, but a lot of people believe that the fundamentals of this country, which are a capitalist society, free enterprise, and hard work, is what makes our country the envy of the world. You don't see people coming here, sneaking to this country, hopping on a boat from Haiti or Cuba, or coming across the border in Mexico, or sneaking on a boat from China, or trying to get across the borders in Canada to come to a welfare state, to come to a socialistic or communistic regime. They come to this country, they pack up, they leave everyone and everything they know for the hope of freedom. Not the guarantee, for the hope, because they read about us and they hear about us and the possibility of being able to make their own money and be their own man. And that's powerful. So some people believe that President Obama is not doing or not perpetuating the capitalist society. Some people believe that he is switching himself over to a communistic, Marxist type, socialist type, any one of those isms that really don't go with capitalism, that type of regime. Now, without going into too much detail, if you read any of his books, if you read one of the books, I think it's the Sons of My Father, or one of the books he wrote, I may have quoted the name wrong, it's not to lose me right now, but he said he wasn't happy. He felt out of place when he went to college until he was around Marxist teachers. And if I recall my history, his daddy was a communist, and the father that his mother married, his stepfather was a communist as well. So that's why some people say, hey, this is not right. So here we are. We have states now saying we need to secede from the union because this ain't cutting it. We're in debt. We lost a AAA rating. We're now in a AA. My gas price is going up. I don't see anything. We're getting taxed more. Capital gains tax is going up. We're quote-unquote taxing the rich because they need to quote-unquote pay their fair share. And a lot of folks just aren't with it. Now, again, you have 100,000 people or 60,000 people in a state of millions and millions. It's not, I don't think it's really going to go anywhere. But it still raises the point of this has not happened that I can recall since the revolution, the Civil War, I should say. I'm going to double check that. But this is something serious. So, Clark, let me get you online. Let me ask you a question. What do you think it would take, Clark, for us to separate and become a separate state? Clark, can I get you on that, Clark? I guess Clark has left me for the moment, but that's all right. We're going to take a call in a moment and go into detail. But what it would take? Oh, I have a caller online. Wait a minute. Let me get this calling board to come on in. Caller? Call if you're here. You're in the 317. Your number is the 317. Caller, go ahead and speak.
Yes. I think that what the petition's really talking about is, would the federal government let us secede peacefully? Because like you're talking about, the federal government will stop at nothing to maintain the illusion of legitimacy. And, yeah, if they don't let us peacefully secede, then there will be a war.
Okay, that is definitely, again, about the power. In order for you to let, if they were going to let us succeed peacefully, whatever economic or financial stability that we were giving to the country as a whole would be taken away. So that is something to consider. Now, Carl, are you telling me, let me ask you a personal question, Are you saying that you would like to succeed, or you just give me information on what the petition, what you think the petition says?
Well, I 100% support secession because the federal government ignores the 10th Amendment.
Okay. Now, let's talk about that. Can I ask you, caller, what state are you in? You're in 317. What state is that?
Well, I'll go ahead and say it today. It's Indiana.
Okay, you're in Indiana. All right. Now, what would it take for Indiana to succeed? Do you guys have a balanced budget for your state?
If we don't, it's pretty close. And they're pretty good about that stuff around here, yeah.
That's the first thing. You have to have an economic system. Now, in order to succeed as well, you'd have to, like, when the southern states succeeded, they had to elect a new president. You think you guys could do that?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be too hard. I mean, we already have, like, the state governments in all these states are already in place. So all you'd have to do is basically make it its own country, which wouldn't be too hard.
That's a thought, because I've given some thought about this as well, caller. What about the monetary unit? Would you stay with the dollar, or would you have to start coining your own money?
Well, I mean, me personally, I would like to see us get away from the U.S. dollar, because they can just print more money whenever they feel like it, and they've been doing it way too much.
So you think we should stay on the gold standard, which would limit the amount of dollars that could be printed?
Yeah, gold, silver, aluminum, copper, something. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've read up on that, too. Now, one opposition to it, a lot of people agree with you that, hey, we need to have something that's a standard base and something that's tangible. But what the opposition was saying is that we're not finding enough gold. Gold is one of the more scarce things if you want to do copper and all those things. But can we have enough to keep an economy growing at a fast enough pace in which the people can be pleased with that and have enough lifestyle, not to grow too fast or not to grow too slow? But that's why they say we switch from the gold standard because the economy is growing too much. We ran out of gold. So now we're on the just take my word for it type thing. Well, I got your back. Well, I'm gonna base it off our gross domestic product.
Well, I don't think that that's really accurate because if there's only 1 ounce of gold in the world, it's going to be a pretty expensive ounce of gold. Like, you could still run the monetary supply off of it. You'd have notes out here with 1/100th of an ounce or 1/1,000,000th of an ounce of gold, or you could figure something out. It's not completely dependent on how much gold there is, I don't think.
Okay. Well, that's something to look at. I'll think about it, though. I appreciate your call, caller.
All right.
Thank you for tuning
in. Have a good
in.
Night, buddy.
All righty. Now, I'm looking at my clock, and it's like, wow, it's 7:44 already. We're going to take a brief break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to hit you with at least I can get in the politics part, because this is very controversial, and I think please tune in. Call all your friends and tell them to tune in. If they're not going to tune in anything else, tune into this, all right? We'll be right back in about 30 seconds.
Do you have tax issues, owe back taxes, or need tax relief? Contact L&B Tax Service today. L&B offers you over 15 years of expertise and first-class tax service for individuals, professionals, and business owners. With nationwide service, you can easily find a location near you. Contact one of our tax professionals through our website, lbtaxservice.com. That's www.lbtaxservice.com. L&B Tax Service Incorporated. Tax professionals that you can trust.
All right, and we are back. Thank you for holding. Now, we do have a couple callers online. I'm gonna get them in. Like right now, I want to make sure people get their voices heard. I want everybody to participate, be tuned in. So let's take the next caller and see what's on your mind. Caller from the 706 area code. You're on the mic, caller. Go ahead and speak, please.
Hi, Fred. This is Demetra Stewart with Ambition Radio, also on Survival Radio Network. I just wanted to call in and welcome you to the family.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Everyone,
I appreciate it.
You're doing a great job. I'm sitting here listening to you. That's what's up. You're doing an awesome job.
Well, thank you. I'm nervous and all kind of stuff. I'm telling you, it's like, hopefully I can say enough stuff. And this clock was telling me time will fly. I was talking to Clark, like, I guess around 5:30. So I'm like, man, do I have enough information? He's like, time's going to fly. You're going to have plenty. Just relax. and just be you. And we still haven't hit a whole lot of the things.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, I get nervous every time still, so it's okay.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you tuning in, and I'm definitely going to tune into your show. We're going to do this together, all right?
All right, Fred. Good luck.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, call on the 404 area code. I have you at the 2391 as the last four digits of your number. Go ahead and share with us what you have to say.
What's going on, Brother Fred? This is Brian, man, with the show from the basement to the boardroom on the Survival Radio Network. So I just wanted to welcome you to the team, man. You're part of a great family, and you're going to do great things, man. So we appreciate you coming aboard and looking forward to it.
Hey, Brian, I appreciate your call, man. Thank you very much. I'm going to do my best to represent SRN to the best of my ability. So we'll be looking out for great things. Again, we're going to support each other, and we're going to take this network to the next level.
Yeah, man. And like she said, don't worry about getting nervous. Like Clark said, you're gonna run out of time, man. You're going to have more than enough time. You have more than enough material. You have to carry stuff over. And this will be your last night being nervous, because when you know what you're talking about, it all comes out easy, man. So good luck to you.
All right.
Keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right. That's what I like. I like SRN love. Keep it coming. Now, you guys, as I promised you, I do apologize. I didn't get to all the segments that I want to because time just flies. But I want to hit on politics. And I told you guys, have someone around that can listen to this. Oh, we got one more caller. Hey. This call is 404, and the last digits are 2260. Sorry, I had that. I just did 2260. I'm done with that one. Actually, no, I don't. 2260, if you would, please. You're on the mic, 2260, last four. Go ahead and speak, please.
Hey, how's it going, Fred? This is William Harriet. I was also calling to say I thought you were doing a great job on this show as well. I did have a response to your earlier question about the secession business.
Okay.
And I'm curious as to how these states, especially a state like Indiana, would trade with other countries. I mean, they don't have a clear waterway of getting through without necessarily going through other states. So, and they don't have a military, and they enjoy a border. They enjoy the comfort of being bordered by all American states. So I don't understand how they would work those things out. They're just in a place like Texas. I mean, let's say Texas would secede. They'd have to build their own military. They wouldn't expect for America to defend them anymore, and they'd have to deal with Mexico. So, the military issues, these border issues, I mean, it sounds great in theory, but when you get down to the reality of dealing with international trade and international policy, you can't rely on Big Brother USA to help you out anymore.
Right.
So some of these things don't seem to be thought through thoroughly in terms of secession.
Right. And I thought that as well, but you can also like it at to say, okay, when you're talking about the trade, we do trade with other countries. Well, we already do that. Again, like you said, the place of Indiana being in the middle of the country and surrounded by other states that may not have seceded from the Union would make it a little bit difficult, a little bit strange to get things going. But I know they have a state. They have a state militia. You know, they have some. They have the reserves or something for the state that they could use as a deterrence to any kind of attacks. At the same time, Puerto Rico is not a state, but we still have a whole lot of involvement in Puerto Rico. They can still vote in our elections, but they're still not a state. They continuously vote not to become a state, but they still enjoy the freedoms. They're natural. They're citizens. They don't need passports to come back and forth here. So, I mean, you can play with it a little bit. Again, I don't really think it's going to happen because it's a whole lot of transition. We do have the federal government, the power of the federal government that can, quote-unquote, help us, or some people believe, as Carl Indiana said, help us will destroy us. It's just hairy to me, and I think it's a calling to say, hey, President and Congress, you guys need to do something to tighten up around here because we're really getting disappointed in what you're doing.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you
for
your
time. And once again, man, you're doing a great job, man.
Thank you very much. Stay tuned and tell all your family about us if you would, please.
All right.
All right. Have a good night. All right. Peace. Now on to the poly tricks. This is crazy. Last time I was on, I had a caller that started talking about the weapons of mass destruction. And I said, there were weapons of mass destruction. And people said, really? They said, no, they weren't found. And I said, well, yes, they are, because this is what I do. I do my research, and that's how I come to my conclusions. So I want to highlight a few things and tell you where you can get the information from, and then you can come to your own conclusions and see who's been telling you the truth or who's not, kind of like Santa Claus. We're going to make a list and check it twice. We're going to see who's been naughty and nice. Now, all you have to do is go to the United Nations website, that's the UN.org, and you type in weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, or you type in UNSCOM, which are the inspectors, and you'll come up with says a chronology of main events, and they list all the things that they found in Iraq. This is from 1991 to 1998. I'm going to tell you a few things just so you'll see where I'm coming from, but again, don't trust me. Look for yourself. Again, don't believe anything you hear unless you know it's consistent with what you know to be true or you have done your homework. So let me tell you, this is what turned in my Democratic card in 2000, I think it was. 2000, I think I gave away my Democratic card. And I did this because I was mad at the Democratic Party. I'm sitting here listening, and I'm hearing the Democratic senator screaming, there's no weapons of mass destruction, and I'm hearing the Republican saying weapons of mass destruction, then I'm listening to different stars and all these other folks saying they're on and on, and it can't be both. So I said, I'm going to look it up. Let me give you a couple things. The time is running out, and I got to get my man Clark online because he wants to say a couple things. But go to the United Nations website, click on the chronology of events under the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You can read for yourself. It even has different languages. So if you're Spanish-speaking, Arab, whatever it is, you can read it. Real quick, in May of 1991, Iraq admits revised declarations covering additional chemical weapons and a refinement of missile declaration. In August 2nd, 1991, Iraq declares to the first biological inspection team that it conducted biological research activities. In September 1991, the IAEA, International Energy Atomic Agency, inspectors find large amounts of documentation relating to Iraq's efforts to acquire nuclear weapons. Iraqi officials confiscate some of the documents from the inspectors. We'll go into more detail on the next time. March 1992, Iraq declares the existence of previously undeclared ballistic missiles, chemical weapons, and associated material. Iraq revealed that most of these undeclared items were unilaterally destroyed in the summer of 1991. In violation of Resolution 687, July 1992, UNSCOM begins the destruction of large quantities of Iraq's chemical weapons. They didn't have them. How could they be destroying them? June 1994, UNSCOM completes the destruction of large quantities of chemical warfare agents and precursors and their production equipment. So he's able to produce them. August 1995, this is the kicker there. I'm going to switch off. We'll go into more detail on the next show probably. General Hussein Kamel, Minister of Industry and Minerals and former director of Iraq's Military Industrial Corporation, with responsibility for all of Iraq's weapons programs, he leaves Iraq for Jordan. Now, Iraq claimed that Hussein Kamel had hidden from UNSCOM and the IAEA important information on the prohibited weapons programs. Iraq withdraws its third, notice I said third, biological, full, final, and complete disclosure. If they gave a first one, how could it be a third one if they were complete? Somebody lying. All right. Iraq provides, it says that Iraq also admits to having achieved greater progress in its efforts to indigenously produce long-range missiles than had previously been declared. Iraq provides UNSCOM and the IAEA with large amounts of documentation hidden on a chicken farm by Hussein Kamel related to its prohibited weapons programs, which subsequently leads to further disclosures by Iraq concerning the production of the nerve agent VX. If you don't know about VX, it's one of the nastiest nerve agents around. You bleed, you cough, you sneeze, you die. That's what it does. And Iraq's development of a nuclear weapon. Iraq also informs UNSCOM that the deadline to halt its cooperation is withdrawn. I'm going to stop right there just to let you digest that. Go look that up so we talk about it again. You can join in the conversation. But the bottom line is, you have Saddam Hussein said he had the weapons of mass destruction. America said he had the weapons of mass destruction. Russia, France, and Germany said he had the weapons of mass destruction. But you had people in segments of America that said he didn't. We know he had the weapons of mass destruction because we gave them to him under the Reagan administration when Saddam Hussein was our friend. We gave it to him. So we know we had them. And then we found them. So when I sit here and listen to people tell me that there wasn't a weapons of mass destruction, and then I go do my homework and I see that you're lying to me, now I'm mad at you. So we'll go into more detail. Clark, if you're on board, if you would, please come on and share some light with us, please.
Man, I just want to say in the last minute, you are the man, and I could see no other person that could really do this show, man. I'm so happy that you came aboard, man. I am excited about what you're going to be teaching our listeners, and I know our listeners, whether they agree with you or not, is really irrelevant. Because we all have different viewpoints and everything. We're never going to agree with everything. But the one thing that I know that you're really focused on is that when they, at the end of the show, they're a little bit smarter about politics than they were when they came. And I think, you know, with that being said, no one else can say, welcome aboard, man. Welcome aboard. Great show.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I appreciate your support and this opportunity again. I was like, yeah, I'll take some time to think about it. But I was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting this. When you first said it, when you finished your words, I was like, oh, yeah.
Man, it's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to the next show because we're going to get back to the succession thing. It's a lot to it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little. I like the caller. He had his passion, and he wanted Indiana to succeed. The one caveat that's a little different from, say, in the early 1860s is that then the government or the state governments were the ones that were really pushing for secession. And as I recall, there are no governors out there pushing for it. It's just citizens right now. Now, that could change.
Right,
right now. It's just citizens saying, and without the government of that state going along with it, it really doesn't have any tread yet. But we got to keep an eye on it because you never know. These things can escalate.
Oh, yeah, they definitely can. And let the economy get worse or this war jump off in Egypt and with Egypt and getting involved with Israel and Palestine and Obama and our country had to make a decision. Hey, things can change because right now we're supposed to be back in Israel. Oh, people, when we come back next week, we're going to talk about God and Jerusalem being taken off the Democratic platform. And we're going to talk about these Republicans. People always say, always trying to push their conservative views, always trying to worry about somebody's abortion. Leave people's bodies alone. We're going to talk about that. I want to hear your input. I know how I feel, but I really want to know how you feel. All right, so you guys stay tuned. That's a hot topic as well. Now, you
well,
are listening
to
that.
I'm going to let you take it on home, sir.
All righty. I thank you guys. Everybody's out listening. I appreciate you coming out and tuning in and listening to what I have to say. I pray that I've done you justice. I pray that I've held your attention. And again, as Clark said, have maybe brought a little light, or brought a little insight to our political system. I ask that you tell a friend, tell two friends, tell three friends to pay attention to what we're doing here. This is a movement. Again, this is not just something that we're trying to do to be like a Fox or a CNN, but we're trying to provide information in which you can actually use and apply to your life and affect positive change, no matter what level. If it's just in your household or already up to the level of a president, whatever it is, wherever you want to be, you can get that information here and take it to the next level if you choose to do so. Podcasts are going to be ready 10 minutes or so after the show is over. You can get your podcast. So if you weren't able or your friends aren't able, tell them to tune in. We have a lot of stuff to say. And as Clark said, even if you don't agree with me, I'm still want to bring this information to you. I could be wrong. Bring it up to me. Challenge me. Make me do better, because I'm sure I'm going to challenge you. If you call in with some craziness, I'm going to call you for it. I'm not going to be disrespectful, but I'm still going to say, hey, did you do your homework? Or what about check these sites? So I like to cite my information, and I want you to be in the know. All right. Again, this is Frederick Wilson. This was Let's Talk Politics. You're on the SRN Radio Network, the network you cannot live without. I thank you again. God bless and good night.